Okay, we are on Tes Amud Aleph. We're going to start again for Amalei Levi LeRebbe, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines in the bottom. Amalei Levi LeRebbe. My Ilya the 20 Tezvav, Lisni Tezayan. There should be 16 Arayas in the Mishnah that we should say, Pater their Tzaras and their Tzaras Tzaras, from Yibum and Chalitza. Amalei the Rebbe responded to him, Kimdum Ali, it seems to me, She'ein Loi, he doesn't have, referring to Levi, Mayach B'Kutkate, a brain in his head. And we talked about yesterday, the Chavis Yorah, that a Rebbe can say that to the Talmud when he expects the Talmud to have a better thought process, when he sees that his Talmud didn't think of it, he says, I'm sorry, this is and he can say sharply, so he should give his Talmud the concept that he has to think more before he asks the question. Dr. Gemara, why? My daitach, what is your basis of this question? Meaning, what are you thinking when you ask this question? Imai anusis adav. You think there should be a 16th erva. And that is a person's mother who is the anusa of his father. Let me explain. A father, let's say, we'll call the father, I hate to call him by his name Yaakov, but Yaakov. Yaakov was ma'anis a woman. He lived with a woman out of wedlock. It doesn't make a difference whether he did it by force or he persuaded her. We call it anusis aviv, it could be just as well mefutus aviv, it doesn't make a difference. He lived with a woman out of wedlock, and he had a son named Reuven, out of wedlock. So Reuven's mom was never Yaakov's wife. Reuven's mom was a woman that Yaakov had a relationship with out of wedlock, and they bore a son named Reuven. Shimon married that woman. Shimon, Yaakov's other son from a different marriage, married the woman that his father had a relationship with, who happens to be Reuven's mother. Shimon dies without any children. Reuven has to go do Yibum, and the lady that fell to him Yibum is his mom. Is his mom. Now, this can only work with an anusa, because if Yaakov had married the woman and had a son, Reuven, Shimon, his other son, can't marry his father's wife. The kedushin doesn't work. There's no marriage to a father's wife. However, this woman is not a father's wife. This woman is the lady who father had a relationship with out of wedlock, which is a machloikis tanoim, whether the kedushin can work or not. So Levi's question was, why doesn't the Mishnah list a 16th erva? Imai, a case of mom, when the mom was not a wife of the father, but rather had an out of wedlock relationship. And, like the Tana who says that Shimon can marry her, and then can fall the Yibum in front of her son Reuven, and it would be a 16th erva, that there's no mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza for her or Tzara. That was Levi's question. So Rebbe says to Levi, what is your das, my daitach, what are you thinking? Which one do you want to be the 16th erva? Imai anusas adav, the case of a mom, who's not his father's wife, but rather the lady his father had a relationship. And therefore, Kedushin would work, right? And therefore, Shimon could marry her, because it's not his father's wife. Had it been his father's wife, he could not have married her. But since it's not his father's wife, he could marry her. And they had a son named Reuven. Yaakov had another son from the marriage named Shimon. Reuven and Shimon are paternal brothers. Shimon dies without children. The woman who's falling Yibum happens to be Reuven's mother, and there's no mitzvah of Yibum, and she partners her tzara. That's Levi's question. So Rebbe answered him, Anusis Avim plukta the Rebbe Yehuda Rabbanani. Anusis Avim would depend on a machloikas tanoim, whether Kedushin can work or not. But plukta like a Mairi, and this Mishnah was written that whoever authored this Mishnah, and let's remember, Rebbe redacted Mishnayos. He didn't necessarily author every Mishnah. He quoted Mishnayos from other sources. We mentioned this a number of times. Each Tana had their own Mishnayos. Rebbe went and took all those Mishnayos and put together our Mishnayos. Now, he usually used Reb Meir's Mishnayos as his basis, usually, but sometimes he used other ones, and he he redacted it. He took it from other sources and he put it together. So Rebbe said the author of this Mishnah did not want to bring a case of machloikas. So therefore your question is not a good question. He was only looking for arayas that would not depend on a machloikas. This case of Shimon marrying the woman his father had a relationship can only work if you don't agree to Rabbi Yehuda. Because if you agree to Rabbi Yehuda, that kedushin would never work. Shimon would never be able to marry that lady, and therefore it would be impossible that she would fall liyibum, because Shimon couldn't be married to her. But that's why it wasn't listed in the Mishnah. The Pluktaloi Kamari. The Mishnah wasn't interested in the Machlokes. Yes.
Rabbi, and we've learned previously that for purposes of Yibum, half-brothers are brothers?
Paternal brothers are brothers. Not maternal. Only paternal.
Okay. Thank you.
Zakrashi. His father's brother, I'm sorry, his paternal brother from one father married her after his father had this relationship. And she would fall in front of her son for Yibum. The Pukta Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanah, because I mean Eliel, Rabbi Yehuda Eiser Banusis Aviv. Rabbi Yehuda Lai Mishkakasla. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this would never happen in the Tzelis of Nebali Yibum. She would never fall to her son to Yibum, because Shimon would never be able to marry the woman that his father had a relationship. It could work according to the Rabbanon if it was an out-of-wedlock relationship. And the reason the Mishnah didn't mention it is the Mepukta Loi Kamari. It's not talking about a case of Machlokes. That's Rebbe's answer to Levi, said sharply. That question is based on a mistake because our Mishnah doesn't want to talk about Machlokes, and your case that you're thinking about would have involved a Machlokes. Fact to Gemara, it's not true. Vari Isser mitzvah the Isser, yes.
It's not just terrible. It's not so awesome. This seems like a strong reaction. Such a bad question.
Right. I had the same problem. It wasn't like Rebbe made a mistake. He just went and said the Mishnah should have listed, and Rebbe was telling him the Mishnah doesn't want to have a machloikas. Why did Rebbe have to respond so sharply? I guess Rebbe figured that he could have looked at the Mishnah and seen it himself, that there's no machloikas in the Mishnah. I guess. Zakti Gemara. Frakti Gemara, but Pukta Loi Kamari? I'm sorry, Pukta Loi Kamari. Frakti Gemara, the Loi? We don't have cases in our Mishnayos about Yibum that's Machloikas. Okay, let me give a little bit of an introduction. We paskin, and this is the assumption across Shas, we paskin that any woman that's Chayiv Karis, Kedushin doesn't work. Any woman that's only alav, Kedushin works. That's the way we paskin, that's the halacha. And that, said in Gemara language, is Kedushin Taifsim B'chayiv Elavin. Kedushin can work in a woman that's prohibited to marry with a lav, but ain't Kedushin Taifsim B'chayiv Krisis. However, Kedushin cannot work in any lady that's Chayiv Karis. So therefore, if a person, quote-unquote, marries his sister, which is a Chayiv Karis, or marries his wife's sister, which is a Chayiv Karis, he's not married to her. The Kedushin doesn't work. It's a waste of time. He's not married. Married cannot be valid. Forget about sanctioned. It's not valid if it's a Chiyav Karis. However, if a Kayan Gadol would marry an Amana, which is a Lav, or a Kayan would marry a Grusha, or if a Yid would marry a Mamzeres, these are all prohibited, but there's no punishment of Karis. The Kedushin is valid. Again, it's not legal, but it's valid. It's a valid Kedushin, and they're living under sin. But they are married to each other. They would require a get to break up that marriage. That is the opinion we always work by. There's an opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who we don't paskin like, who says that even a chayv lavin, we had this in Ksuvos, that even a woman prohibited by a lav, the kedushin doesn't work. So according to Rabbi Akiva, if Yid went and married a mamzeres, it would be an invalid kedushin. They wouldn't need a get. If a Kayan married a Grusha, it would be an invalid Kedushin. They wouldn't need a get. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you could never have a case where a woman that's prohibited by a lav falls to Yibum. Because if she's prohibited by a lav, I shouldn't say that clearly. Yeah, but let's say that. Let's say, right? If she's prohibited by a lav, right? Then it's impossible to do yibum or chalitza. It would be because it's like an erva, because kedushin is not typhus. Yet the Mishnah in the second perek discusses that if a woman that's prohibited by a lav falls to yibum, that you should do chalitza and not yibum, because it's not an erva. The kedushin would be valid. The yibum would be valid. It would be illegal. So therefore, you should do chalitza and not yibum. But the Mishnah discusses that case, even though it's a case of machloikas. You just said the Mishnah doesn't discuss cases of machloikas when it lists what to do with chalitza and yibum. You just said bepukta loikamairi. Well, the Mishnah in the second perek deals with a woman that's a lav, or rabbinically prohibited, that falls with yibum, and the Mishnah says you need to do chalitza and not yibum. That really is a machloikas. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, by a lav, they wouldn't have to do chalitza either. It's like an erva. Because he says it's an illegal, it would be an illegal marriage. We would never be like an erva. And therefore, there would be no mitzvah chalitza. Yet the Mishnah says there is a mitzvah chalitza. That means the Mishnah is picking sides in a machloikas. And you just told me that our Mishnayas are not picking sides in machloikasin. Frank, the Gemara of law, you don't talk about arguments. Vari Isra mitzvah of Isra Kedusha. Isra mitzvah are rabbinic. It's a mitzvah to listen to Chachamim. The Rabbanim make Shnias Larayas. We talked about it in Ksubas. Secondary ladies that you're not allowed to marry rabbinically. Right? And Isra Kedusha, which is Lavin. The Pligi Rabbi Akiva Rabbanim, Uktani. And the Mishnah of the second parak discusses it, bringing one side of the argument, even though it's a matter of argument, the Mishnah seems to have no problem listing it. And you just told me the Mishnah doesn't list cases of machloikas. Rashi. Bar Yisr Mitzvah of Yisr Kedusha, L'kamah B'perek Ketzah, this is in the second parak. It says, Kol Shisura Yisr Erva, L'chaletzah Svoyim Yisr Emes. Any Yuvamah that's an Erva, there's no Chalitza, no Yibam. Isra mitzvah, if it's only an Isra mitzvah, you got shnias medivrei seifrim. Shnias means arayas that are called secondary arayas. They're only rabbinic arayas, because the mafarish will come up in perik beis, the gemara and the avchav aleph will list them. Or Isra kedusha, you got shenafzul levan of mamzeres or nesina, right? Fell to him in yibum, a mamzeres or nesina, meaning his brother was a mamzer. His paternal brother was a mamzer. Or an asin. His father had married a mamzeres, had a son, and that boy is a mamzer. Married a mamzeres, and he had another son from another marriage that wasn't a mamzer. And now his brother died without children, and this mamzeres falls to him liyibum. Or this nesina falls to him liyibum. Right? Sheba lav, that's a forbidden for a lav. It's not an erva. If he would do yibum, she would be married to him. But we don't want him to do yibum. It's a lav. But it's not an erva that there's no mitzvah. So the halacha is chaletzah v'lo yibum emes. We say do chalitza, don't do yibum. Because yibum would be a lav. We don't want you to do the lav. And chalitza is a way out. But it's not that there's no mitzvah, because it's not an erva. It would be a valid yibum had he done it. Right? So that's what the Mishnah says there. A lav that doesn't have the punishment of kares does not remove the mitzvah of yibum. But there's no yibum because he's not allowed to do yibum. Rabbi Akiva argues, the Amr Beperik Achaylitz, he says in the fourth Perik, Chayve Lavin ke Chayve Krisis. The Chayve Lavin, or like Chayve Krisis. The Tani, Eze Mamzer, who is a Mamzer? Kol Sher Basar Shubla Yavai. Any offspring married from a Lav is a Mamzer. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. That if a person transgresses a negative prohibition, no Karas, and he lives with a woman that's a Lav, the offspring is a Mamzer. It's an erva. The yesh mamzer mechayv elavin, because the kedushin is not valid. Rabbi Akiva, olim lav lemifter ebevloy klum kerev gemura. According to Rabbi Akiva, a woman that's a chayv elavin, there's no mitzvah of yibum or chalitza. She's like an erva. To Rabbi Akiva, a chayv elavin is like to us a chayv increases. As far as the legality, I'm sorry, the validity of the kedushin. And if there's no validity of the kedushin, the woman is like an erva. That there's no mitzvah of yibum or chalitza. Therefore, According to Mekiva, the Mishnah is wrong in the second parak. There is no chalitza by Chai V'Lavim. Yet the Mishnah picks one side in the Machlekes and discusses it. And you just said, Rebbe told Levi, that we don't have cases in our Mishnah that are matters of Machlekes. In the second parak we do. Zap to Gemara, the Pirkin coming on. Rebbe meant in the first parak. Rebbe did not mean in the second parak. Rebbe said in the first parak of Yevamos, Rebbe said, the Mishnayos aren't dealing with machloikas. And therefore it left out the case of Imai Anusis Aviv. In the second parak, the Mishnah does deal with machloikas. In the first parak, it does not deal with machloikas. That's the answer to Gemara again. In fact, the Gemara, that's not true. But the Pirkin Kamina. We said it only in our parak. In fact, the Gemara, now let me explain. We've been operating in the first 7.5 blot of Yevamos that at Saras Erva has no mitzvah of Yibam. And that is the way we paskin. And that is the opinion of Beis Hol. Beis Shammai disagrees. Beis Shammai says that a person can be meyab at Saras Erva. Beis Shammai says there is no prohibition of Yibam to a Saras Erva. According to Beis Shammai, if Reuven and Shimon were brothers, and Shimon were married to Reuven's daughter and to another wife, and died without children, Reuven would have a mitzvah of Yibum to that Saras Erva. The assumption that we've been operating for the last 7.5 blot, that Saras have no Yibum or Chalitza, is Beis Hillel's opinion. Beis Shammai disagrees, and that is a Mishnah that is coming up, I believe, on Daf Yud Gimel. On Daf Yud Gimel, there's a Mishnah that brings Beis Shammai's opinion that Saras have a mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza. Now that's a machloikas. And the Mishnah brings, in our first Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Saras or Putter, even though it's a matter of Machloikas. The Mishnah picks sides, and picks Beis Hillel's opinion, and says, Saras or Putter. Right? So, how can you tell me that the Mishnah is not picking opinions in Machloikas, when the Mishnah picked Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai? Later on, the Mishnah will say, it's a Machloikas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So how could the Mishnah write a statement in the first Mishnah that's based on Beis Hillel that Beis Shammai disagrees with? The answer is, the Mishnah picks one opinion out of two. So if it can do that, it can do that by Imei Anusis Aviv also. So what is Rebbe saying that the first Mishnah does not deal with Machloikas? It's not true. The very first Mishnah said something that's based on a Machloikas and picked one of the opinions. Track the Gemara. Beishamai says a tzaras erev is mutter for Yibam. Rashi is a tzaras erev is yevemes. Beishil says it's usher. And the first Mishnah went with Beishamai's, with Beishil's opinion. So don't tell me it doesn't pick sides. In a machlekes, zok the Gemara, Beishamai b'mok and Beishil ain't a Mishnah. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is not viewed as a machloikas, because since a baskel came out and said that we paskin like Beis Hillel, so Beis Shammai's opinion is not given the same as every other machloikas. Other machloikas then, we treat like a machloikas. We paskin one way, but the other opinion is considered a machloikas. Beis Shammai, in place of Beis Hillel, since the baskel said that we paskin like Beis Hillel, right, since the, and we always passing like Beis Hillel, so that's a different kind of machloikas, and we don't even view it as a machloikas that we're picking opinions. We're not picking opinions. This is a set halacha by a basko. Now, why we use basko? A basko means came out in a shemayim, an announcement. Why we accept that, we'll talk about later in this parak. But at this point, the Gemara is saying, picking Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai is not picking a side in a machloikas. That's decided halacha, whereas other machloikas tanoims are not necessarily decided halacha, and therefore picking one opinion would be picking a side in a machloikas. Frek the Gemara. Vareishis achiv shlehoye baylomai. The pligi Reb Shimon v'Rabbanon uktani. Okay, now let me explain this, and again, this is based on a machloikas that's going to be brought later in Masechtas Yevamos. And that is as follows. Now, there are two cases here. At the beginning, the Gemara assumes that they're arguing in both cases. Let me explain. Reuven sorry. Shimon. How do I want to work this? Yaakov had a son. Let's name him Shimon. Yaakov had a son, Shimon. Shimon died without children, and then Reuven was born. Right? Shimon's wife is still, didn't get married. Reuven was born. Reuven cannot be Miyabin, Shimon's wife. Even if Shimon's wife is around 13 years later when Reuven becomes Bar Mitzvah, he's not allowed to be Miyabin Shimon's wife. That is called Eishes Achiv Shalahaya Baylamai. Meaning, Reuven never knew Shimon. They never existed in the same world at the same time. Shimon predeceased Reuven's birth, and therefore there's no Mitzvah of Yibum. That's the halacha in our Mishnah. That's one case of Eishes Achiv Shalahaya Baylamai. Again, Shimon died prior to when Reuven was born. Then there's another case. I'm sorry. Let me reword the case. Not changing it, just adding a fact. Yaakov had two children, Shimon and Levi. Shimon died, and then Reuven was born. Now, that birth could have taken... And then Levi was Miyabim Shimon's wife. Let me say it again. Shimon died. There's a brother Levi. Shimon and Levi were together in the world. Shimon died. Levi was Miyabim and then Reuven was born? Or Reuven was born and then Levi was Miyabim? Two separate cases. In one case, Reuven's birth preceded Levi's being Miyabim. In the other case, Levi married Shimon's wife, and by the time Reuven was born, this woman was married to Levi. So there are two different cases of Eishes Achiv Shalahaya Baylamai that we can deal with. One is a case, there were two brothers, Shimon and Levi. They existed together. Shimon died without children. Levi did Yibum to Shimon's wife. Perfectly legal. Meanwhile, Reuven was born. Now, Reuven could have been born before Levi did the Yibum, or after Levi did the Yibum. In our Mishnah it says, that Eishes Achiv Shalahaya Baylamai is an erva, and would pater that woman, because Reuven never lived with her husband in the same world, and would pater her tzara. Now, that is a machloikis in the second parak. Reb Shimon says that when Levi is Miyabim, this woman, and then he dies without children, Reuven can be Miyabim her, because she's falling to him from Levi. She's not coming from Shimon, she's falling from Levi. So Reuven is allowed to be Miyabim. So this is a machloikis tanoim. The Rabbanan hold that since this woman was once Shimon's wife, and Reuven and Shimon never existed in the same world, this woman will be prohibited forever on Reuven. Even if Levi does Yibum, and then he dies without children, Reuven will not be able to be Miyabim her, because she was Shimon's wife, who he never knew, who never was in the same world. She's an Erva, and Reuven can never be Miyabim her. Reb Shimon says, if Levi is Miyabim her, and then he dies, Reuven is not being Miyabim Shimon's wife, he's being Miyabim Levi's wife. And that he's allowed to do. And therefore there's no Erva in that case of Eishes Achiv Shalahaya Baylamai. If Levi does Yibum, right, if Levi does Yibum, and then he dies, without children, Reuven, who was born before Levi died, after Shimon died, but before Levi died, can do Yibum. So that's a machloikas. Our Mishnah listed Eishes Achiv Shalahaya Baylamai as one of the arayas, that pater their tzara, which means our Mishnah is saying, if Levi would be Yabim this woman, Reuven would not be able to do Yibum. That means our Mishnah picked sides in a machloikas. And this is not Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, this is Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan. And yet our Mishnah said clearly that a woman who was married to a brother who Reuven never was in the same world with remains usher permanently. Even if she died, she was married, she did Yibum to Levi, Levi was Miyabim her, and Levi died, Reuven cannot be Miyabim her, ever. And her tzara can be miyubim, have yibum. Tzara and tzara's tzara, right? Because it's eishes achar shlohayim by lomay. And Reb Shimon says that if Levi's miyabim her, and then Levi dies without children, Reuven can do yibum. And our Mishnah picks sides in that machloikas. And you just said that our Mishnah picks no sides in the machloikas. Zok the Gemara, again. Vaharei, eishes achar shlohayim by lomay. The pligi Reb Shimon v'rabbanon. Reb Shimon and Rabbanon have this machlokes. Uktani b'noyel u'uktani, and our Mishnah reading it. Listened it. I'm sorry. Mentioned it. Zok the Gemara. Reb Shimon Paulik Rashi. Reb Shimon Paulik Beishes Akum Shloim by Lomoy. The Perit Sheni u'matzvich lechalitza. He says the woman would need chalitza if Levi died. She would need chalitza. The truth is, according to Reb Shimon, biblically, he can even do Yibum. And yet the Mishnah says no. That means the Mishnah picked sides in the Machloikas. And for the Gemara, the Gemara explains in the second Perek that Reb Shimon only argues in a case where Levi was Miyabim Shimon's wife before Reuven was born. So let's set up the case. Yaakov had two sons, Shimon and Levi. Shimon died without his children. Levi went with Miyabim, Shimon's wife. Later on, Reuven was born. So let's try to set it up. In 2015, Shimon died without children, and Levi was Miyabim, Shimon's wife. In 2016, Yaakov, the father, had another son named Reuven. Then Levi died without children, so Reuven can be Miyabim, Levi's wife. That's what Reb Shimon says. Because as far as Reuven was concerned, when he was born, this woman was Levi's wife. The fact that she once upon a time had been Shimon's wife does not concern Reb Shimon. He says, I don't care that she was once married to Shimon, who Reuven never existed in the same world, because when Reuven came into this world, she was Levi's wife. By the time he was born, she was Levi's wife. To him, this is Levi's wife. Nothing to do with Shimon, therefore he can be Miyabim her. How about if Shimon died in 2015, Reuven was born in 2016, and Levi did Yibum to Shimon's wife in 2017. That means Reuven existed in this world when this woman was Shimon's wife. Shimon had died, but she was waiting for Yibum or Chalitza from Levi. She was still bound, right, to the fact that she was Shimon's wife. And Reuven was born at that point. Reuven was born before Levi married her. So then she had been ushered to Reuven. From the minute Reuven was born, she was Eishes Achim Shlohayim by Lomai. She was Shimon's wife, who he never was in the same world with. Now she became Levi's wife. That case, Reb Shimon agrees that Reuven can't be Miyabim her. Because since when he was born, she was prohibited to him, because she was Shimon's wife, and he never knew Shimon, he never was in the same world as Shimon, that issa remains permanent. If Levi did Yibum before Reuven was born, by the time Reuven was born, Levi was already married to this lady. So then, Reb Shimon says, as far as Reuven is concerned, this is Levi's wife. But if Levi did Yibum after Reuven was born, Reuven was born after Shimon died, before Levi did Yibum, so therefore this woman was prohibited to him from the minute he was born. Even though Levi does Yibum, it does not remove the Yisr. So therefore, Reb Shimon agrees to Eishes Achiv Shlohayim by Lamai, depending whether Levi did Yibum first or second. Our Mishnah might be talking in the case that Reuven was born before Levi did Yibum. And if that's the case, then it's not a machloikas. Your question was that the case of Eishes Achiv Shlohayim by Lamai is a matter of machloikas. It's only a matter of machloikas if Levi was did Yibum before Reuven was born. But if Levi did Yibum after Reuven was born, so then there's no machloikas. And therefore, our Mishnah could safely say that case of Eishes Achiv Shlohayim by Lamai, and it can be talking in a case when Reuven is born after Levi did Yibum. Reuven was born after Levi did Yibum, and then there's no Machloikas. So yes, our Mishnah does not talk about cases of Machloikas. You said it does, because it has a Machloikas from Shimon Rabbanon, but Noilan, Ubetzayv Yibum, if Reuven is born, and then Levi did Yibum, Loi Pauling Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon doesn't argue. And therefore, since he doesn't argue, that could be the case of our Mishnah, and there's no Machloikas. Rashi. Umeshani b'noilin u'besayv yibum le'palag Reb Shimon. Heichad the mace Reuven b'loi banim. Reuven died without children. V'at shelo yibum ha'shimon, noilin Levi achiyam. Before Shimon did yibum, before Levi did yibum, I'm sorry, Rashi has different names, it's my mistake, I should have used Rashi's name. Reuven died without children. Before Shimon did yibum, Levi was born. V'oida skuka li'yavim. At the time Levi was born, she was still bound to Yibum. V'hoiseloi asura b'nefila zu b'shem eishes achim shlohei b'alamai. When Levi was born, at that moment, this was eishes achim shlohei b'alamai. Then v'yibum Shimon. Then Shimon did Yibum. U'meish b'loi banim. Maider Reb Shimon she'asura l'Levi. Reb Shimon agrees that even though now she's falling from Levi, she's asur. Hayo v'nesra alav she'achas v'nefila v'shayna. Because before Shimon did Yibum, Levi was already prohibited to her from the moment he was born. V'chipalig Reb Shimon. Which case does Reb Shimon argue? B'yavam Shimon as Eishes Reuven. Shimon did Yibum first. V'yachakach neilat Levi. Then Levi was born, Umay Shimon. The Hatham Sharile Reb Shimon Liyavumay, the Loi Nafla Lefon of Mikayach Reuven Achiv, Shemais. She never was fell to him from Reuven, because by the time he was born, Levi and Shimon had already done Yibum. The Loi Nestral of Klum, and she did not become Aser. So she Nafla Lefon of Mikayach Shimon Shayabai Lomay Nafla. The first time he came into contact with her, so to speak, was when Shimon died. When Reuven died, he wasn't born yet. In fact, he wasn't born until after Shimon married her. If he was born before Shimon married her, so then he already had the Isser. If he was born after Shimon married her, Reb Shimon says it's Mutter. So therefore, there is a case that Reb Shimon agrees. That's the case of our Mishnah. Therefore, our Mishnah is not talking about a Machlaikas. Hope I explained myself well enough. Frek the Gemara. It's hard to explain when I can't read faces. Hard to know whether I did explain it well enough or didn't explain it well enough. If anybody has any question, please ask. Frek the Gemara. V'amar Rabbeishia, Chalikai Reb Shimon Aparishayna. Rabbeishia? Yes.
Rabbi?
Yes.
It's interesting that after all these things you're saying, it makes Dr. Harris's question all the better.
Right.
I mean, this is like the most ridiculous. This is like it's so like a Talmud has to. Oh, is my clothes now? My clothes. Like it's ridiculous. I mean, it's like crazy.
I guess Rabbi expected more from Levi. What can I tell you? Rabbi felt that Levi should know all this.
Know that it's not again the second parak, only this parak, and it's only this case of it, not this one. It's a little bit, it's really like, yeah, okay, just wanted to bring that out. Thank
I hear you.
Rabbi and I, and to pile on to Rabbi Cohen, it's not, to me, it's not just the expectations were high, it's the severity of the language that was used, and it's hard to imagine how that, I probably shouldn't say this, but I mean, we role model, or they role model what our behavior is. It's very difficult to conceive when such language might be used by any one of us.
Again, I just want to say what the Chavos Yair says. To Rebbe, expecting more from his student, and by saying this sharp line, he's telling his student, you're bigger than that. You should have been able to avoid that question yourself. And therefore, you weren't thinking when you asked the question. Again, if a regular person asked this question, it was a very valid question. But Rebbe looked at Levi as a very person with a high level of understanding, who should be able to figure out answers to most of the questions. And the fact that he asked it and didn't figure out his answer, that means he didn't think it through enough. And that's why Rebbe said, you're asking this question as if you never thought. I think that's what's happening here. If somebody else would have asked the question, not Levi, Rebbe would have valued the question. But he expected Levi to have a higher level of understanding that should have thought, should have been able to figure out why that's different. And
that Levi rejects that. I don't think anybody rejects that. I think it's the terms, the kind of almost personal insult that was used.
I think it's, again, let me just digress for a second.
There is an answer.
I really think there is an answer, and I want to digress for a moment. I'm going to say a personal story that happened to me. My Rebbe, who I consider my Rebbe, once criticized me in public. And people were like, sat there with their mouths open, that he would criticize me in public. And I took it as that it was something that was bothering him enough that he wanted to get the message through to me that whatever behavior he was criticizing was the wrong behavior. Right? As a Rebbe to a Talmud, I felt he was just trying to get a message across in a very strong way. This is unacceptable. Right? Now, people sitting there, I couldn't believe why he could have done this privately. The answer is, if he had done it privately, it would not have the same impact. Right? If you want to demand a level from a student, you have to demand a level from a student in a way that the student gets the seriousness, or the severity, or the whatever word you want to use, of whatever the Rebbe wants from the student. Rebbe was trying to tell Levi a message. If he would have said it sugar-coated, Levi would have said, okay, it was a great question, but, you know, he gave me an answer. Rebbe was trying to tell him, this question wasn't befitting for you. You're bigger than that. You should have been able to answer that question yourself. And you asking it is lack of thought. So he said it sharply, and Levi would get the message. I should have figured this out myself. I should have figured this out myself. That's what Rebbe's trying to tell me. Rebbe's trying to tell me a message. He's not trying to answer my question. He's trying to tell me that I should have never asked this kind of a question. I'm bigger than that. He expects more from me. Only a Rebbe to a Talmud would do that. Where the Talmud understands that the Rebbe's trying to make him a better person. Trying to lift him up. Trying to make him improved. So Rebbe's telling him, hello, this is not befitting for you. That's not a thoughtful question. You're bigger than this. That's what I think is happening here. He would have never said it to a non-student, and the sharpness of the retort is to get the message across. I expect more from you. From others, I don't expect more, but from you, I expect more. That's what I think he was trying to say. Again, that's how I understand it.
This makes sense. Because even a good friend can speak to you and should speak to you in a different way from acquaintance or
right.
Someone,
right.
You know, a family member could speak to you in a way to get through to you.
Right.
Zabdi Gemara.
Yes.
Can I share a quick personal intimate? When I was in high school Spanish class, my Spanish teacher would ask me a question. I would say, I think, said, Harris, don't think, you're not equipped. It's a little different, but.
I hear. Zabdi Gemara, Baita. The Amar of Aishya, Cholikai Reb Shimon at Birishayna. There's two cases in the Mishnah there. And Reb Aishya says, Reb Shimon argues even if Levi was born before Shimon did Yibum. Like we just answered that when Levi was born before Shimon did Yibum, Reb Shimon agrees. Reb Aishya said he doesn't. So according to Reb Aishya, the Mishnah is picking sides in a Machloikas. So the Gemara tries to Reb Aishya. We slugged up Reb Aishya anyway, so we don't have to deal with him. Reb Shimon agrees in the case when Levi was born before Shimon did Yibum, and therefore our mission is not picking sides in the Machloikas. Zakt Rashi. V'amar Reb Aishya b'perik sheini, chalukai Reb Shimon at Rishayna, menayla l'besayf Yibum. Okay. Now, the next Gemara's question is going to be come to a point all the way in Daf Yud Amud Aleph. So we're going to have to leave the question alone for a moment. The Gemara is driving towards a question. But in its drive towards the question, the Gemara is going to give us a halacha that needs explanation in many cases. It's not difficult, it's just keeping track of cases. Meaning it's, the understanding of it is not difficult, but it's setting up a whole huge amount of cases. When you see that long Rashi, all Rashi does is set up cases. This case is this story, and this case is this story, and this case is this story. And this refers to a brisa that's built on a Mishnah. The Mishnah says there, two brothers that are married to two sisters, and they both die. Right. So there, let's say there are two brothers, let's say four brothers, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. Right? Right? And Reuben and Shimon marry two sisters, and they fall to Yibum in front of Levi and Yehuda. So the halacha is, we had this earlier, that we say, not according to Shimon at least, we say that they can't, you can't do Yibum to any of the two because they're the sister of the one that's bound to you. So you have to do Chalitza. She's not married to you. Levi would be able to do Yibum, theoretically, be Miyabim one, and Yehuda could be Miyabim the other. But when Levi does Yibum to one, he's doing Yibum to his sister of the woman that's bound to him. It's like a partial wife, rabbinically. So therefore we say, they should do Chalitza, not Yibum. Levi and Yehuda should do Chalitza to the two women, and they can go marry anybody they want to. That's what we say. Then the Mishnah throws in the following. What would happen, and I'm picking one of cases, that Reuben and Shimon marry two sisters, right? Reuben and Shimon marry two sisters. We'll name them Rachel and Leah. Reuben married Rachel, Shimon married Leah. Levi married Rachel's daughter, which is perfectly legal, and Yehuda married Leah's daughter. Okay, so let's try it again. Reuben and Shimon, just a matter of keeping track in cases. Reuben and Shimon married Rachel and Leah. Reuben married Rachel, Shimon married Leah. Levi and Yehuda, two other brothers, married. Levi married Rachel's daughter, so Rachel is his mother-in-law. Yehuda married Leah's daughter, that means Leah is his mother-in-law. Then Reuben and Shimon die. So Levi has no bound at all to Rachel, because it's his mother-in-law. She's an erva. Right? However, Yehuda's wife, Leah, is bound to him. So he can do Yibum to her, because it's not the sister of the woman who is bound to him, because Leah's sister, Rachel, is his mother-in-law. So there's no Zik at all. There's no bond at all, because she's an erva. Yehuda can't do Yibum or Chalitza to Leah, it's his mother-in-law. So he can do Yibum to Rachel, who is Reuven's wife. Because again, there are two sisters, Rachel and Leah, but each one is an erva to one of the remaining brothers. Since each one is an erva to one of the remaining brothers, each of the remaining brothers can do Yibum or Chalitza to the other one. Because Levi can't do Yibum to Rachel's wife, to Reuven's wife, because that's his mother-in-law. So there's no Yibum or Chalitza. But Leah, even though she's a sister of Rachel, but Rachel doesn't count for him. It's his mother-in-law. So he can do Yibum. Yehuda can't do Yibum or Chalitza to Leah, because she's his mother-in-law. So therefore he can do Yibum or Chalitza to Rachel. So here you have a case where you have two sisters coming to Yibum in front of two brothers, but their Yibum is allowed, because one of them is an erva to one brother, and one of them is an erva to the other brother, and therefore, that permits Yibum and Chalitza to the other sister. Let me try to set up the case again. Reuven and Shimon married two sisters named Rachel and Leah. Levi and Yehuda married, Levi married Rachel's daughter, Yehuda married Leah's daughter. So now, Rachel is Levi's mother-in-law, she's also his brother's wife. And Leah is Yehuda's mother-in-law, and she's also his brother's wife. Reuben and Shimon died without children. Rachel and Leah now fall to Yibum. So Levi says, Rachel doesn't fall to me. I have nothing to do with Rachel. She's my mother-in-law. Therefore, I can marry Shimon's wife because she's falling liyibul for me. And it's not the sister of somebody bound to me, because Rachel is not bound to me. She's my mother-in-law. So Levi can do Yibum, if he wants to Shimon's wife. Yehuda, Kint, is not bound, Leah is not bound to him. It's his mother-in-law. So even though he wants to do Yibum to Rachel, and Rachel is a sister of a woman, but that woman is not bound to him, because it's his mother-in-law. So there, Levi can do Yibum to Leah, and Yehuda can do Yibum to Rachel. So even though they're two sisters, and they fall at the same time, their Yibum is permitted. If the two sisters would fall at the same time, and neither would be an erva to the remaining brothers, then Yibum would not be allowed. Because by doing Yibum, you would be doing Yibum to the sister of the woman bound to you. But since one of them is an erva to one, and one of them is an erva to the other, therefore, you're allowed to do Yibum. One can do Yibum to one, and one can do Yibum to the other, even though the two are sisters. That's what the Mishnah says in the third Perek. That's the introduction to what we're going to go through now. Again, the Mishnah there says, two sisters falling the Yibum, at the same time, you can't do Yibum to either, even though there are two brothers here, Levi and Yehuda. But they can't, because if they do Yibum to one, they're doing Yibum to the sister of the one that's bound to them. And Rabbanan don't want that. They have to do Chalitza. But if the two women, the two sisters, one is an erva to one brother, and one is an erva to the other brother, that eliminates the bond between the erva and that remaining brother. Therefore, he can do Yibum to the remaining sister, because the other sister is not bound to him. That's what the Mishnah says. Comes along Rav Chiya, and he says that in all cases of our Mishnah, you can have that there are four brothers, two married to sisters, and one is an erva to the one of the remaining brothers, and one is an erva to the other one of the remaining brothers. It can be by all cases in our Mishnah. In all 15 cases, you can have that Rachel is, let's say, one of them's daughter, and Leah is the other one's daughter, right? Or you can have granddaughter, mother-in-law, all the 15 cases in the Mishnah can be two sisters married to two brothers, to Reuben and Shimon. They both die, and one of the wives, Reuben's wife, is an erva to Levi, and Shimon's wife is an erva to Yehuda, right? And there can be 15 types of ervas. Each erva can fit into this case of two sisters, one being an erva to one, and one being an erva to the other. That's what Rav Chiya says. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. V'chein Tani Rav Chiya. B'kulon ani kaira behen. By all 15 ervas, I can have a case of asur lezeh muteres lezeh. One is asur to Levi and muter to Yehuda. V'asur lezeh muteres lezeh. And one is asur to Yehuda and muter to Levi. V'achoysa shi yevemta. Even though both are sisters, chayletas v'amitz yevemes yikud do yibum. Meaning, even though they're two sisters, and normally when two sisters fall yibum, you cannot do yibum. In this case, one is an erva to one is an erva to the other, which permits Yibum with the other one. Each of the 15 ervas can fit into this. And that's what Rashi is going to go through. 15 cases of how you can have two sisters, one being an erva to Levi, one being an erva to Yehuda. One can be all 15 ervas to Levi, one can be one of 15 ervas to Yehuda, and they can be Miyabim, the other sister. That's what Rashi is going to do. And Mer Tishem, we will try to do this Rashi tomorrow. Again, Rashi is not difficult, it's complicated. Just to keep track of cases. It's not like you have to depth of understanding, it's just to get the case straight. Mer Tishem will continue tomorrow.